WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time, right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hands.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Man, I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to your reference over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We greatly appreciate it. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
The professional one. Yes, I am here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So professional. So professional. But we have a guest tonight.
Yeah, we'll get to him. We'll get to him. But you can interact with us live at wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, gerwick.net. You can tweet along with the show at rackradioshow, at wildtalkradio, and at Lynn's Ward. We do have a guest because it is a Big Four pay-per-view, which means only one thing. We're talking two pay-per-views tonight, including NXT TakeOver, which means we need this.
The NXT analyst, TJ Villamega.
Well, I'm a man with a plan.
I forgot I had a sounder.
Only the best for you here.
Aw, I always appreciate when I get to come on.
And well, he's not just here for NXT. We'll get to that in a little bit. This is, like Rock said, a Super Stack show. And we do have a tidbit of news we have to discuss because, well, something happened this week. Actually, more than one thing happened this week. But we're just going to talk about this big story because we don't want to keep y'all any longer than we have to. Because this could be a really long show.
Oh, I guarantee it's going to be a long show.
I know you guarantee it's going to be a long show.
I can guarantee it's going to be a very long show.
And that is, we have to discuss Ric Flair.
Okay, so 1 week ago, the three of us and an intern were sitting on a phone call. And we got a story about how Ric Flair was going in for a routine procedure. Right, Omega?
Routine monitoring.
There you go. So he was going in for routine monitoring. And all of our ears perked up and went, you don't go in for routine monitoring.
Not to a hospital, no.
No, not to a hospital. Days later, 2 days later, it became really serious.
Like ICU, induced coma, serious? And we're all sitting here like, what? What's going on? And what's really freaky is where he's probably at. He's here in Atlanta. Somewhere in Atlanta, but it's like, I'm pretty sure I know which hospital he's at. And it's like 15 minutes from where I work. I was like, oh crap. He's like right up the road. This is not good.
Yeah, it's not really good. So there's a lot of confusion, clearly, as the story has changed many times. Wendy, his fiance, came out and talked about how media reports... She was wondering how media reports get started. Media reports got started by Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yes.
You can thank Mean Gene and his Twitter and Facebook for all the speculation about colon surgery. He is doing better from everything we're told, from all the digging and all the searching. From what we've learned today, he has an external pacemaker. He's on kidney dialysis, but making signs of improvement. Monday night was very touch and go, which is why everyone was on Twitter wanting Ric Flair to... quote unquote, kick out, because Monday was really touch and go. That's where we are in the story. It's a crappy story to report.
But on the upside, Ric Flair is on the mend. He's doing better.
He's not out of the woods.
He's not out of the woods by any means, but apparently he has an external pacemaker that's been put in place, which is regulating his heartbeat. He is still on kidney dialysis, and he did have surgery to remove a blockage, but he's on the mend from all of that, and he's getting better. Supposedly, he has to have one more surgery, presumably for, I would guess, the routine monitoring and the routine procedure he was supposed to have was to put in a pacemaker. That would probably be my guess, given his heart condition.
Because there was something, what was the term? Alcoholic something or other that he suffers from.
Like, yeah. It's alcoholic cardio something or another. I can't.
Suffice to say, it's something that causes your heart to beat incorrectly due to large consumption of alcohol over the years.
Yes.
And if there's one thing Ric Flair knows how to do, is drink alcohol above consumption levels. It's a hard story to report because you don't want to report on this. And sorry, we make light of death and everything, but it's a tough subject. And there are points where we may not have had Ric Flair anymore, would have been a really tough show to come on and do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough story to report right now. I'm thankful we are reporting it the way we are because about Monday, this looked like it was going to be much worse.
Because I got an IM from somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning about the prayers that they were looking for. I was from Omega going, oh, okay, that story turned.
Yeah.
Our casual story of reporting it on Sunday night turns to, well, okay, then there went our fears that we originally thought.
Yeah, and we've been monitoring this really closely. We'll continue to monitor it as it progresses, but right now it looks like Rick's going to be okay, and we're all... very, very, very thankful for that.
Indeed.
Because I don't want to have to report on that. I don't think anybody here wants to have to report on that. I mean, it's going to be an eventuality. We will eventually have to report it, but it's like there's just some things you just don't want to do right now. That would be one of them.
Speak for yourself. I want this whole network to burn to the ground before I have to report that.
I'm with you.
So in 30 years, we'll be reporting... the death of the Nature Boy Ric Flair, when it should be the appropriate time. Transitioning, WWE has made a couple of recent signings, including Adam Cole, and yes, after a year of delay, Shelton Benjamin. Both will be debuting with the company very shortly.
I don't think Adam Cole is really much a surprise. I think we all knew eventually he was going to show up. I mean, they were pretty much waiting out the 90-day rule on him.
The made-up 90-day rule that they created for themselves, yes.
So, it's not terribly surprising that Adam Cole signed. He's been teasing it for months now that he's going to do it.
You know, when he chose the Revival over the Young Bucks, pretty much knew where his heart lied.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll get into more with Adam Cole here in a moment as we're going to transition into talking about NXT TakeOver.
And, well, we are... joined by yet another guest, because, well, we can't have the NXT analyst without the assistant to the assistant to the assistant.
Regional analyst with his own intro.
With his own intro.
Hailing from the lonely office in the basement, brings to us the hardest working man, working for the Eva Marie fan club, the assistant to the assistant to the assistant regional analyst, the intern, King Kittens.
Really? I come Happy rushing birthday. Home from... Thank you. I come rushing home from work to try and make this. Oh, dear God. I'm going back to the basement now.
It's done with love!
By the way, Rock, screw you. I saw what you did on Twitter.
You know, I had to.
He did.
I know he did.
And it was only part my idea. Because it was left in my brain because of someone else, what someone else did. Or was thinking of doing.
Yeah, I could have been a lot meaner to you.
I don't even want to know.
I guess you haven't checked your mail.
The regular mail or email?
Regular mail.
Regular mail.
Oh, God. Okay.
We will wait if it takes you 2 minutes to go check your mail.
No, if it's at the office, then they're closed for the day and I'll have to get it tomorrow.
Yes, get it tomorrow.
Yeah,
I will get it tomorrow. I will let you guys know on Saturday.
There is something waiting for you.
Oh, boy.
And I could have been a lot meaner.
Will it bite me?
It could.
Maybe.
It really,
if I'm
really,
good.
Really, really could.
If that's what you're into.
We're not going to judge. Maybe.
If it's straight fire doing it, I don't care.
No, it's not her.
God damn it.
Anyway, let's talk about NXT TakeOver. That's the reason why everyone's here. We have only 5 matches to get into.
As opposed to the 20 on SummerSlam.
Which we'll get into in our second segment of the show. We're here to talk about the 5 matches planned. But before we get into the matches and everything like that, there is talk of them, as they've promoted on television, of NXT alumni showing up on the show. They all asked to be a part of the show. It is like the WrestleMania for NXT, kind of, sort of. At least that's what Triple H is calling it. We could see the likes of Finn Balor and Charlotte. That was the plan for Charlotte. And others, Shinsuke Nakamura, to appear on this. I'm hearing names that are going to be there going, sounds like a big angle is going to happen. What do you guys think?
Well, if Finn Balor is going to be there, they should probably have Bray Wyatt there too, seeing as he's an NXT alumni. You could maybe kind of do one last little tease between them before Sunday, but that's just me.
Well, that's you being hopeful of things.
Because, you know, points. Not that any of us can catch Tim except for maybe Omega, but...
If the plan works...
Which is, there's such irony in that statement that you just made.
As I said earlier to Rock, Obi-Wan Omega, you're our only hope.
I hope all those dice roll 20 for me tomorrow night. Or Sunday night.
This weekend, yeah.
This weekend.
This weekend, yeah. Go buy a Powerball ticket.
No, I don't want to burn up any luck already.
Because everything has to go according to plan for Omega to win. Hence, hashtag the plan. It took 17 weeks, but the plan may work. After he gave up on his team, like, week 3.
They gave up on me. Let's be fair.
Did they? Because
yes.
You may have a chance. You may have a chance.
They're trying to redeem themselves the last minute.
They want to be in his good graces. They want to raise.
I'm not saying it won't work.
Anyway, what are your thoughts, Omega, on the supposed big angle happening at TakeOver?
I'm not sure so much if it's a big angle or one of those things where between matches they just cut to the crowd where they've stuck somebody from the roster onto one of the front row seats for like a grand total of 2 minutes. Because we know they've done that a lot. We've seen that they've done that with Flair. Card them out, point the camera, take the camera off, back to the back.
But what if you take a group of these newcomers, these outsiders who are coming into NXT, and say they jump some of these guys, sending a message that this is their NXT.
You could definitely do that. It would have to be a crew that is not going to be performing at SummerSlam, because I don't think you'd want to make anyone look weaker before then. Oh, we just got... I'm going after a title, but I just got beaten up by a rookie.
Something big could happen, whether it's with the alumni or in general. I get this feeling there's going to be something big coming out of this show.
Oh yeah, they're going to run something. The question is what?
What if Adam Cole leads some sort of faction of people?
He could.
We've seen a couple of these Ring of Honor guys come in. Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish. Maybe the three of them get together and they're a group.
Was Red Dragon cool with the Bullet Club? I don't remember.
I don't know my Bullet Club history. I lack the super kicks to know the knowledge.
Same.
But it doesn't matter what their history was. This is a new place, new history. It could happen. In some
yeah, way. But you always reference back to it. It's like AJ and Shinsuke reference back to what happened in Japan. So it's easy enough to find, and it's easy enough to go back to. So that's why I'm asking. It's like, you know, you could have, if Red Dragon wasn't cool with Bullet Club, then it's, well, they could go against Adam Cole.
They definitely could. It could be one of those things, too. I just get this feeling they're good. with everyone there, something could happen. Hell, you could, and this is what Lindsay would like, you take the UK guys, you put them up against an Adam Cole faction, and there you go.
Except the UK guys aren't in New York right now.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. At least Tyler Bate isn't.
Where's Tyler Bate now?
He's in Orlando.
Oh, he's made it to Orlando.
Which I would bet Seven and Dunn are probably there, too.
Doesn't mean they can't fly back up to New York.
This is true, but I'm just saying they are not in town right now.
Right, they weren't going to stay in town all week. They could come up for Saturday, because I think they're going to be there.
Yeah, they got time.
They're scheduled to be there at some point, whether they're working the taping before or they're going to be, you know, back in Orlando. They're there for SummerSlam weekend.
Are they taping NXT in New York, or are they going to come back and take bit that next week?
They're tape, like they always do, they tape that 1 hour before for the 1 week, and then they go down to Orlando and tape the 4 weeks of TV.
Okay. All right. So the answer is yes, they're doing both.
Correct. So that's thoughts on that. Intern, you have anything you want to add to the situation?
You can try and do some kind of invasion angle with these guys, or you could do something laying the groundwork for some of these alumni or people possibly being sent down with the next superstar shakeup.
The rumored supposed superstar shakeup. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
No, finish your thought.
No, I was saying if you do something like that, or if you have something where, I don't know if the new guys will quite make their mark on TakeOver. I mean, they could, and it'd be a hell of a stage to try and do it on. But I think it's something just to generate a little more interest in this TakeOver. I don't know. Something seems a little off with this one.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there doesn't seem to be the hype that we've had in years past with some of the ones for, even in Brooklyn or in some of the other TakeOvers. So maybe they're trying to drum something up for it, considering the fact that they're doing a 14-hour SummerSlam the next day.
Say your piece, Omega.
I know. I'm sitting here thinking, like, God, where is, like, the kayfabe news story about SummerSlam running head-to-head with Raw the next night?
Wait for it on Sunday, probably.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's hard because we don't know exactly what they want all these alumni for. Because, you know, it could be something as innocent as, oh, well, they're just going to pop up in the crowd as the night goes on. Or, you know, they're going to line them up on stage for like a hello to the fans or something like that. Or someone comes down to the ring and speaks and gets jumped by who knows who. It's hard to say. Just because we can think of a billion different scenarios, and only one of them is going to be right.
Right, and we probably have none of them. So, with that, the only way one alumni needs to show up is being dragged by security, because that's the way he left Full Sail, and he should always still be dragging in his white tights. And that's the only way he should ever return to NXT, is kicking and screaming, and he's being captured the entire time like that. And that would be Bo Dallas.
Only if he's wearing the same gear as that night.
He has to still be wearing that gear, because NXT Bo Dallas still wears the white tights. We all know this.
Would he have to shave?
No, he's no, the beard would work, because he's still the man on the run. He is homeless Bo Dallas.
He is nomad at that point.
He has lost his NXT home, so he is homeless Bo Dallas all the way through.
But they find him, initially, hiding under Regal's desk.
There you go.
Or he stumbles off the truck. He's like, where am I?
These scenarios could work.
And then security's like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And it just all starts.
Someone just opens up a locker in the back and he falls out.
But I wouldn't mind seeing Neville either.
Yeah, Neville. He's a little bit more hostile than he used to be.
Well, you know.
He's a little more haggard right now than he used to be.
He's homeless Neville, so he and Bo Dallas have been homeless together.
They're all just homeless to you. They leave NXT and they never find a home.
Well, when they grow their hair out and they grow a really kind of grubby-looking beard and they develop attitude issues, yeah.
Yes, but we have guys in NXT with grubby-looking beards. We got Eric Young, for God's sakes.
I never said he wasn't homeless.
This is a valid point, and if anyone looks homeless, it's sanity.
I'll give Nikki Cross a good home.
I'm sure you will.
I would 100% do that. Just saying.
Why must you always take the good ones?
Because I have good taste.
Does she really take the quote-unquote good ones?
She takes the fun ones.
That's the better descriptor.
Fun ones.
I take the crazy ones.
Speaking of Nikki Cross, her boys will be in action on NXT TakeOver. They will be challenging for the NXT Tag Team titles against the Authors of Pain. Thoughts on this matchup, Omega?
I really do hope this is a cementing point for sanity. Like, I feel like taking down the Authors of Pain at this point would be an accomplishment they need. They need that little feather in their cap as a stable, you know, and a couple gold belts to toss around in that group would not be a bad thing.
What do you say, Lindsay? What's your thoughts on this match?
I'm really looking forward to this match. And that's kind of a first in terms of an Authors of Pain match for me. I love what Sanity did on TV this week, where they had them take out, or not this week, last week, take out the Authors of Pain and just lay them out. Nobody's ever done that. And I enjoyed the ever-living you-know-what out of it. I want Sanity to come in and do the same thing and take the titles off of Authors of Pain, because you can't do something like that where you lay them to waste and then you have Sanity lose.
But
go ahead. You're trying to build them as a dominant group. You need to have them be a dominant group.
But at the same time, you have to forecast, you know, Authors of Pain need to get theirs back.
Do they though?
You see, that's true in standard WWE. It's not so true in NXT.
Because here's the thing. Authors of Pain or Sanity could very well be on their way up to the main roster. We don't know. SmackDown's looking to rebuild their tag division. They have to rebuild their tag division, which means they may be taking somebody from NXT. Authors of Pain have sort of run their route in that show. They've gone through the entire division. They don't have anybody left. They're very much like what the Ascension was before the Ascension went up. So now it's, what do you do with them? If you have Sanity lose to them, where do you go with the Authors of Pain? Who do you have them face? You know?
There really isn't much of a tag division down in NXT. You got the Authors and Sanity, you got Heavy Machinery, and now you have the Street Profits.
Right, no offense, there's not a lot of tag division left in general.
No, there is a lot of tag team division left. It's broken up into three parts.
Yeah, the tag division's great. They have lots of tag teams.
They're just on three
small
different
sampled.
Yeah, they're on three different brands, which is the negative in the whole situation.
So, I'm with Omega. I feel like this could cement Sanity as the dominant group in NXT, replacing the Authors of Pain if the Authors of Pain go up. If Sanity loses, I feel like they go up. Because Sanity is kind of one of those things where it's like they do something with it and then they back off. They do something with it and then they back off. They split some of the members off and then they bring them back together. And Sanity's been really sort of disjointed in terms of how they've done it. So it's like, I feel like they're either in line for a major push in NXT or they're going up to the main roster. I just can't tell which it is. All I know is I want Nikki Cross to chase Paul Ellerling around that ring. Trying to hug him or kill him. I'm not sure which. Either is fine. See, I just want her to chase him.
That is the factor to this match, is that you can eliminate the manager because there's two people on the outside for Sanity.
And also I want her to stand up to Authors of Pain again, because that was just one of the best, most adorable things I've ever seen in my life. But I'm really looking forward to this, just for a multitude of reasons, but mainly Nikki Cross. If she's there, please God let her be there. Anyway, Brent, thoughts?
Something that I'm going to say for this match can go for a couple of others. This is a make-or-break match for Sanity. Only because for the past couple of takeovers, they were, let me see, beaten by Ty Dillinger, if I remember correctly, because that was Ty with the cage match, right? Like two takeovers ago?
That wasn't takeover, that was TV.
Okay. Was the six-man tag then on takeover then?
Yes, which I think Sanity won the tag match.
Well, they did, okay.
They won as a group, but Eric Young lost as a single.
Okay. So there's that, there was the fact of Roderick Strong kind of taking on Sanity. They needed something to kind of, as you said, cement them or put them over. Taking down a group like the Authors of Pain, especially for as big as they are and as much as they've kind of run roughshod over the tag division, would do just that. It's something that would help, and they really kind of need right now. And, I mean, that work, that sentiment goes a little further down the card when we get to some other matches as well. But I can see Sanity doing it. I really hope they do it, just because I think it's time to take the belts off of the Authors. They've done as much as they can with them, I think, and now it's time to either move them along or make them chase a bit.
So, Rock, your thoughts?
I agree with what you guys are saying. It's time for one team to step up, and I'm going Sanity gets the belts. What do you got, Lindsay? Who you got?
I'm going to go with Sanity. It's time for the belts to come off Authors of Pain. I want Sanity to get it, just because they would add an interesting dynamic to it, so Sanity.
Omega, who you got?
It's part of the plan, isn't it? I need a Sanity win here. It is. It's time to take it off the authors. I mean, they really haven't had a challenge since they came to NXT. It's time to do something new.
The video game goes Sanity. The 8-Ball goes Authors of Pain. Kane Kinnan's goes...
I'm going to go with the Homeless Four and Freebirds.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's Sanity.
Well, he's the one who has to write this down so he would know.
Yes, that is Sanity.
So up next, we have...
As you caught me in the middle of a sneeze, it's Andrade Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano, a.k.a. Johnny Wrestling, or whatever Percy Watson said.
Mr. Wrestling. He called him Mr. Wrestling.
That guy wears white tights and a mask.
Yes. Anyway, sorry about mid-sneeze.
It's all good. What do you think about this match, then, Lindsay?
That, I don't know. I'm not overly looking forward to this match. I mean, obviously, it's thrown together last minute because they're trying to find something for Johnny Gargano. They're trying to find something for Andrade Cien Almas. There's no build or anything to it, obviously. So it's just like, oh, okay, it's just a match between two great wrestlers. So I expect the match to be really good. I don't know who to pick. Because it's like, okay, they're pushing Andrade, but it's Johnny who they're pushing both of them. So it's like, who do you sacrifice?
This is Johnny's first real singles match on a takeover since the breakup heard around the world with Tommaso Ciampa. And this is a chance for him to prove himself. And I think this could be the start of a big push for him. It all boils down to Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega. Thank you. Trying to figure out what her last name was. Like, I know her as something else, but she's Zelina Vega with a Z. Because, you know, got to make it more difficult for everybody. And we're in this position of, okay, she's now tied with him, but his whole gimmick is he's a partier and she's trying to keep him focused. It's okay for Cien to lose because his gimmick has been lately he loses. So we're in that position. So it's like, it makes sense for Johnny to win because Tommaso is still months away. So it's like, we won't see Tommaso running interference costing Johnny Wrestling this match. What do you think, Omega?
It's a hard one to call. Because, yeah, being Johnny's first big singles match, and especially, yeah, there's no chance of former partner interference on this one. It does seem like a time when he does need to stand out. He does need some kind of push here. But at the same time, Cien Almas, you've had him for a while now, and he's not really done anything. You know, the fact that he's picked up a valet is the first interesting thing that's happened to him in a long time. So, I don't know. I feel like this match is last minute. I feel like this is just there to fill the card. But at the same time, I think it's still an important match for both of them. Because either one could establish what they're doing. Either Gargano is a singles wrestler or a reinvigorated Almas with his new valet.
I almost feel like Cien needs it more. Just because he was on a losing streak for so long. And he needs all the wins he can get at this point. I know it's Johnny's first match out as a singles wrestler. But Johnny's proven himself. Cien really hasn't been able to, you know?
Yeah, but I don't see it in Andrade. I don't see it. Don't.
I feel like if he wins, he wins by like the skin of his teeth.
But that doesn't kind of do thing. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything for him as a character either.
If he wins, it's because his valet interferes.
Right, and they relegate him so down the card, it's like, whatever momentum he had, it doesn't have it anymore.
I mean, but you need to use the people you've got, so they have to do something to give him another shot here. Like, clearly they want to give him another shot, because they're trying to make him relevant again.
Yeah, but a win over Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, doesn't... I don't know. Either way, a win won't super elevate him, because Johnny's now a singles guy, and so you're being a guy in his first real singles match in a long time on, you know, in a major spot. So it's like, does it really do anything in general for a win?
I think when it's Gargano and you have someone who is so just embraced by the fans right now, a lot because of that breakup and a lot because of how much they respect his ring work. I think a dirty heel win out of this one would do wonders for Almas, because if you set it up right, if you play it out correctly, you could punch everyone in the heart during that match, during the finish of that match. And it would give him nuclear heat. If done right.
If they were a more touring brand, it would give him nuclear heat. Going back to the Full Sail University, whatever heat you try to create with Andrade, I don't think would carry over.
This is the Brooklyn crowd. I mean, they're going to amplify it regardless.
No, I'm not in Brooklyn, he'll get the heat. When you go back to Full Sail,
that's I know. I think there's going to be some carryover, though.
I don't know. Those Full Sail people can be weird at times. Like, the one scenario where they sit and be quiet so they can listen to Maro call action. I still find that the most ridiculous thing in the world, but there's something they did. I don't know. Intern, what do you think?
As I said with the match before this, this is one of those where I think it's a make or break, and this is almost as, like, he has to win. He needs it desperately. His character just, there's been nothing for him for months now. Ever when he debuted, he had a great match, but I don't think the fans were really even into it. And ever since then, he's just kind of languished. And you get Johnny, who's, as you said, first match as a single, or first major match, I should say, as a single. He's going to have the crowd behind him. I don't know. I honestly see Almas doing something showboaty, losing the match. And this is one of those things where it's like, you need to really get it together, or, you know, the valet leaves or something along those lines. So I can see Almas losing. I can see it furthering the story. Johnny, this is the start of Johnny to build him up so that that single feud with him and Tommaso is just nuclear between the two and the fans just lose it. They're already going to, but starting down that path will help. But as much as Almas needs it, I just don't see it in the cards for him on this match. I really don't.
Could he show up, like, hungover? I mean, this is really wrong to say.
That would be really interesting.
Like, he shows up, and, you know, Vega's trying to find him. She can't find him. She doesn't know where he is. Like, you do that on the pre-show where you establish that, where she's looking for him, she's calling him, she can't find him, you know. You have him stumble in, because this is probably going relatively early in the show. You have him stumble in at the top of the show.
Slightly
hungover. Yeah, or, you know, just all disheveled. He's been out partying all night, all day. He's got no rest. He's not in any condition to wrestle. But he still goes out there and does it, and that's how he loses. And that's, like, the wake-up moment or whatever for him.
I'm having flashbacks to 1998 with Scott Hall in WCW. So having flashbacks where he would come out drunk.
Well, I'm not saying you actually do it. He doesn't drunk. But, yeah. You know, it's like...
You don't Jeff Hardy him.
No, but I'm
but,
saying...
you know, it's like he's been out all night. And he's disheveled. Like, he's been out partying all night. He doesn't have to stumble in drunk. He stumbles in tired, though. And he's not in any condition to wrestle.
It is New York, the city that never sleeps. It would fit so well.
It's a party town. There's bars, there's nightclubs, there's everything. So it's like, I can see him going out and partying for, like, days on end. Like, they land in New York, and he just disappears for, like, 3 days and comes back for the pay-per-view. And she's like, where have you been?
I don't know. But I had fun.
Rolls up in an Uber. Someone just kind of throws him out the door.
Yeah, he just, like, falls out. And he goes out and he wrestles. And that's, like Johnny just, like, embarrasses him. Like, not even beats him, but embarrasses him. And it wounds his pride so bad that he just, that's when he gets serious.
That's his rehab.
Yeah, his intervention. Like, you could have him roll up in an Uber, and it's not even, like, it's not even him saying, like, he's got to have a match. It's a wrestling fan driving. So, look, I saw his name on the card, so I brought him here. He wanted to go down to the next bar.
God, that would be brilliant.
I mean, that would... And that gets you out of the quandary, because then it's like, okay, well, CN wasn't in any condition to wrestle. So, naturally, Johnny's able to beat him very handily.
But if he comes out in no condition to wrestle, why would they let him in the ring?
Because nobody checked him before he went out? I don't know.
Hey, you're throwing all these scenarios. I gotta poke holes in the logic somewhere.
It's wrestling! There is no logic!
I mean...
As much as they're trying to stop him, he's like, no, I'm good. I mean, you've seen that guy at the party.
To play devil's advocate here, they did have a match where Jake the Snake came down appearing to be completely hammered. And they let him get to the ring. They let the bell ring and start the match. And he was faking it, because that was part of the feud. But... It's happened.
Hasn't Austin wrestled drunk before?
Every night.
There was no wellness policy back then.
But still, God. To your point, I mean, it's happened. Like I said, I'm not saying he goes out there drunk, okay? But like I said, he disappears for 3 days. He's been partying for 3 days straight. He shows up tired and hungover.
He wrestles in sunglasses.
Like, she just drags him to the ring. He literally shows up in the Uber or the Lyft, gets out. She just, like, smacks him upside the back of the head, drags him out there by either his ear or his nose, whichever she can get hold of first, throws him in the ring, and is like, do your thing. And he just kind of looks at Johnny like, oh, right, we're supposed to do that tonight, aren't we? And he just gets embarrassed, and it just wounds his pride so badly that that's the aha moment for him.
So for no real interest in this matchup, we spend 15 minutes on this matchup.
Because we're booking it better than they're going to.
I just thought of another scenario, too.
Lay it out there.
She doesn't show up.
Why wouldn't she show up?
No, not she. He.
Oh, he doesn't show up.
CN doesn't show up. He disappears for 3 days. He doesn't show up.
Okay, well, let's rebook this. So he doesn't show up. So Johnny Wrestling needs a new opponent. There's your Adam Cole debut.
Yep.
And CN just shows up back at Full Sail a couple weeks later. No idea how he got there.
No, because then
he just ended up back in Orlando.
No, because then it's like the next take or the next NXT show. You can show her, like, is her name Selena or Zelina?
Zelina with Zelina. A Z. With a Z, yeah.
So, like, the chick on Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, Zelina goes into this bar and finds him in this bar, and she drags him out of this bar. And that's where he was. That's where he's been. Is out partying in New York the entire time. Like, he's out partying, and he misses the show. And so she goes and she gets him. And you see that on the next TV show, and that explains why he's not at the pay-per-view. But that's like the instant way to get out of this is CN just doesn't show up.
Look, we only have one way out of this. We have to cast you as an alcoholic for a while.
Not even as, like I say, not even as an alcoholic. He could be at a strip club. Not that they'll show that.
He's been drinking for 3 days.
No. I didn't say drinking. I said partying for 3 days. You can party without drinking. It's actually probably better if you're going to do it for 3 days if you don't drink.
Then he definitely has been violating the wellness policy. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 3 days of partying in New York? Eventually, yes.
He would definitely be violating the wellness policy.
No, it's just... But then it's like, if you do Adam Cole versus Johnny Wrestling, are you going to sacrifice Johnny Wrestling to Adam Cole?
Yes.
Okay. Just asking.
It's Adam Cole.
Just asking the question.
Because we've seen the other ROH guys come in lately, and they've lost. So you would need to establish at least one with a victory if that was the case. And we'll talk about who that person is in a minute. Let's wrap this one in a bow. Who you got, Omega?
If he's sober... CN.
Intern.
I've got to rep my team and stick with Johnny Wrestling.
Lindsay.
Johnny Wrestling.
Johnny Wrestling here. Let's see. The video game goes Andrade Cien Almas, and the 8-ball goes Johnny Wrestling. Now the guy who's been beating all the Ring of Honor talent, Aleister Black, will be taking on Hideo Itami. Now, word on the intersphere, on the web
intersphere?
Thingy.
Intersphere?
Intersphere, the web thing.
Hi, Grandpa.
Exactly. Get off the lawns. Not just one lawn, all the plural lawns. That Aleister Black is scheduled to get a big musical performance entrance on the show. That's the talk. I like this talk. Should be a lot of fun if he gets some musical interlude bringing him to the ring. Because his entrance is already cool enough. But this could just add on to it, Lindsay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're already having kittens.
This is my boy right here. Well, let's not forget, last TakeOver, Aleister Black debuted. And what sold everybody on Aleister Black?
Oh, the fucking intro?
Yes, the entrance. The intro, where he levitated up from the stage. I mean, my God. We were all sitting here like, holy crap! That was so cool! So yeah, so if they like do up his entrance more, I'm fine with this. Totally, totally fine.
Still waiting to see him go... all the way around and into a pie with that entrance. I'm still waiting.
I mean, honestly, I'm more excited about the entrance than I am the match. Just because I don't know, because they're being really smart with Aleister Black. They are not having him on TV every week.
No, but he's been on TV a couple times in the last few weeks, and he's had two really good matches with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. They've been really good. Now you have the Hideo situation. He's coming off a big loss to Bobby Roode at the last TakeOver. They're trying to rebuild Hideo Itami, if there even is a chance to rebuild Hideo Itami, because it kind of feels like, out of everything that's happened, he's a very lost cause.
The problem with Hideo is I think a lot of Hideo's momentum stemmed on working with guys that he had worked with in the past. Because it's Hideo versus Finn, it's Hideo versus Shinsuke, it's Hideo versus, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And the problem is Hideo got hurt. And while Hideo was injured both times, all those names came and went. So now Hideo's coming back, and he has the potential of working with people that he's never really worked with before, which is an exciting prospect. But at the same time, that momentum's not there, because I think it's WWE was counting on all those dream matches to help get him over, and now it's those people are gone. So who do we put him with? What do we have to work with Hideo? And I think they're trying to figure that out. They're still working on that one. I wouldn't say he's a lost cause yet, because they're still working on him. And I think he's working on him as well, because I think he's trying to figure it out too. It's this whole awkward feel out stage for him. And I think a feud with Alistair could be interesting if written correctly.
And that boils down to building momentum for Hideo. And it feels like he has a little bit of momentum, but the stuff with Cashizono just sort of gave him a little bit of credibility, but not really much credibility. He seems very lost. It's like they want to push him, they want to use him, because he's been all over TV in the last 8-9 weeks, whatever it's been. They've used him a lot, trying to get him back up in the swing of things, but it's like, a loss here to a guy who's undefeated would basically kill Hideo, I think.
Unless the loss is through shenanigans, like you have Cassius Ohno cost Hideo the match. I think if there's one match that's going to have shenanigans in it, it's probably going to be this one.
No, I figure it'd be the main event, but...
Maybe. But it's like, because it's that same quandary that we have with CNN Johnny, which is, okay, you have Aleister Black, he's undefeated, he's on a roll, he's got a tremendous amount of momentum coming into the show with a handful of appearances. And then you have Hideo Itami, who they're desperately trying to rebuild, who needs the win. Hanging a loss on someone undefeated, someone like Aleister Black, would do wonders for Hideo. Let's not beat around the bush about that one. It would do wonders.
It would reestablish Hideo Itami knocking off the undefeated guy, and he would have to do it clean without any shenanigans in that manner. By the way, this is The Rack Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by GoRack.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow during the day, Instagram.com/MBG1211, since we hit the top of the hour here live on the program. Where's your head leaning, Omega? Do you think Hideo has credibility left?
I don't know why you wonder if Hideo can be rebuilt or not. Surgeons have done it more than once so far.
Really? Cheap shot.
Low-hanging fruit, man.
Taking worse shots and you know it.
Yeah, I saw a video of it.
So, yeah, I'm kind of in the camp of... I don't think Alistair is one you have to protect with an undefeated streak. I think Hideo desperately needs something to get the ball rolling for him again. Like, by now, he should have come up to the main roster if the injuries hadn't sidelined him so many times. You know, if you feel bad for the guy, like, he was supposed to be this big deal for NXT, and then, it's just a run of bad luck for the dude. Now, if you're going to do anything with him at this point, I think you have to actually prove that in a big situation like this, he can still handle himself, even if the guy is undefeated, even if the guy is creepy as hell, that he can actually overcome that. I also can't get it out of my head that NXT has this thing where if you get a big entrance, you're probably losing. It kind of happens more than once.
Except for when both parties get the same big entrance in the same match, so there goes your scenario most times. Cue Shinsuke Nakamura and Bobby Roode when they have entrances together.
And I'm thinking of Sasha rolling in. Four strong guys, Escalade, and loses.
I know, but that entrance was so epic.
It was
a couple of the Balor entrances.
All the Balor entrances.
No, but in terms of losing, one of the Balor entrances is lost. That's about it. Everything other one, he's kind of won.
Let me ask you this. Is it something that you're just, you you bite the bullet with Hideo. And it's like, okay, there's nothing more that NXT can really do for him. He's been here for 2-3 years at this point. They've gotten him where they can get him. Is it just time to say, okay, let's roll the dice and send him up to the main roster?
I'm not sure he's even had enough in-ring time in NXT to learn the style for the main roster. That's the hard part about this, is the injuries have come at a perfect pace to where it feels like he has to start over every time. And especially now that you're trying to get him over as a heel. See, right now I feel like the main roster is about as loaded as it needs to be. You've already got guys who came up from NXT last time, like Ty Dillinger and Mojo Rawley, who still aren't really utilized. So what are you going to do with someone like Hideo Itami, who hasn't even had the in-ring time to prove himself to the WWE crowd to begin with?
Let's think about this. You got Apollo Crews doing nothing.
Yeah.
You have Mojo Rawley. You have Ty Dillinger. You have, you know,
Aiden English.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. You got Bo Dallas being the second henchman of The Miz after how long that he was been around?
And at least he's on TV.
At least he's now on TV. You got all these guys you brought up before, and they're just sort of sitting there. For the longest time, Mark Alpha wasn't doing anything until Kurt Angle had a kid.
The Ascension.
Luke Harper, Eric Rowan.
The Ascension is just now getting interesting, and that's Breeze Dango's fault.
Tyler Breeze was another one. Sami Zayn.
They're interesting for nothing in ring is the sad thing.
Well, you know, I can't count Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn's been a weekly character since he's been called up.
Yeah, but he's been getting his butt kicked.
But he got his butt kicked.
But he's on TV.
He's Sami Zayn. He's been on TV every single week, just about. It's like, if he misses a week, it's not a big deal. Like, he's a regular character. He's the exception to the NXT. There's a few exceptions. You got Kevin Owens and stuff like that who have made it. But a lot of them take some time. Because there's only I know it feels like there's a lot of TV time, but there's only a limited amount of TV time for all these people. That's the problem when you have huge rosters. You don't have enough time for everyone to be put in positions to succeed. So for Hideo, I don't know, bringing him up to the main roster and you stick him on, what, SmackDown?
Yeah.
No, we know Vince totally loves the foreign people, so I don't know how that would go.
Because, I mean, it's just, look, unless you bring somebody back down to NXT to work with Hideo, I don't see where they're going to go with this, unless they have him beat Aleister Black. And if they have him beat Aleister Black, that's fine, and you start to build that momentum that way. But you have to find him a consistent dance partner, and that's what he's lacking right now.
We thought it was going to be Cassizono, but they, you know, blew that off.
They killed that.
They killed Cassius off to put in Aleister, because we all thought, okay, Cassius and Hideo would be this match, not Aleister. But they killed that off. I don't know. It's hard to figure out where they go with Hideo, intern.
I just think they have no faith in him, and they can't back him due to the injuries. As much as they want to, they got burned twice. And I mean, these weren't just simple injuries. These were ones where he was out at least 6 months, if not longer, correct?
The first one, yes. The second one was a couple months.
But it's enough to derail any kind of plan you really had for him.
Actually, the first one was like over a year.
Yeah, he was gone almost a year and a half for the first one.
Yeah.
Because he had setback after setback after setback with it.
And I mean, I know that they had really big plans for him. They were on the way to pushing him straight up for the belt. Then he got hurt. It's like, okay, go back to the drawing board. Let's see if we can do this again. He was gone so long. Comes back. They're willing to give him that chance again and go, okay, we're going to hit the reset button. Let's get him where he needs to be. Oh, he's hurt again. Okay. And it's just to the point where I just think that they can't plan on him anymore. If he's healthy for a year, maybe, then maybe that'll change. But by then, he's already been set in his ways of being essentially a mid-card, if not lower mid-card. It's just really hard.
I think the chance to make him was back in Chicago, and they did not make him in Chicago. Now we're going with heel Hideo, and heel Hideo is probably going to come out on the losing end of this. And they're going to just continue to have him be a bitter guy for a while, and I think that's where he's going to be for probably the rest of his time in NXT.
I hope not.
You would hope not, but that's the way seems like we're going. Just because they're bringing in so much other talent, it's like, at some point, like people in the past, you just have to cut ties. That's all. It sucks, but that's the position they're in with Hideo. At some point, you always have to cut ties with people. And we may be in that position with Hideo, where either you keep him around just to be a guy, or you let him go back and try to find himself again, because the one big thing that always seems to be with him is confidence, and I don't think he's ever had it since coming to NXT.
No, he had it when he first showed up. Like, he had confidence, he was cocky, he was all these things, and because, you know, it's, he was the first. He was the first, like, really big grab from Japan for WWE. Because I remember when he signed, and it was a huge deal when they got him. And that opened the door for them to get several other people from Japan, with more coming. So, he was confident, he was cocky. I think what took the wind out of him was that first injury. Because it was such a fluke. And then when he gets re-injured again, and I think it was almost, was it the same shoulder? Or was it the other one?
I don't remember exactly.
But it's like when he had almost the same injury again, it's like that really knocked the stuffing out of him. And it's just, I think he's trying to figure out who he is. And they're trying to figure out who he is. And the problem is, it's just like, okay, we have to do something with him. The question is, what?
Is it a win on Saturday, Omega?
I think it is. Hideo, if they're ever going to do anything with Hideo, they need to do it now. I don't think he can take one more major loss.
Right.
I don't think he can take another loss, but I think one's going to get hung on him. They're setting Black up to take that next big step, and I think it comes at the expense of Hideo. And I don't know, maybe Hideo just needs to go to Japan for a bit and come back after 6 months, get his confidence up, get a change of scenery. I don't know, something, but I don't think Saturday is going to be good to Hideo Itami.
8-Ball has Hideo winning. The video game has Aleister Black winning. I have Aleister Black winning. Lindsay, you have...
I love Aleister, but Hideo needs it more. And losing to Hideo will not hurt Aleister as badly as it will Hideo losing to Aleister.
There you go on that one.
I'm going with Hideo.
Up next... It's happened. I believe today it's officially happened that she is now the longest reigning champion since Fabulous Moolah?
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
She's officially at 500 days.
Her streak is rolling on. It is Asuka defending against Ember Moon. Is this the end of the line for Asuka as NXT Women's Champion, Lindsay?
You either do it with Ember Moon or you do it with Kairi Sane. Or whoever wins the Mae Young Classic. It's like you have to do it with one of those two or three if Kairi Sane doesn't win. Because at this point, there is no one on that roster that can take it off of her. And I mean no one. Because that women's roster is still extremely depleted. They're desperately trying to rebuild it. And they're having a really hard time right now because it's just the talent. The talent that's there has not had the benefit of what previous women had, which is years and years and years and years being together and getting to know each other and getting to work with each other. A lot of these girls haven't had that time and haven't had that experience. So they're trying to rebuild everybody. They're trying to build this back up into something. They're just having a difficult time doing it. And also they're kind of lacking the star power in the women's division right now. Asuka and Ember are really sort of holding it down.
Because you have Asuka on the top of the ladder and then everyone else is below her. That's why it's not... Like, the old NXT Women's Division was, everyone was on the same rung. And they were moving up that ladder together. Here, you have a fully established women's champion, Asuka, who is quite frankly better than anyone on that roster.
Hands down.
And then everyone's below her. Ember is slowly rising, but I think there's a lot of hype with Ember that doesn't always pay off.
Well, the thing with Ember is, they're hyping the eclipse, right? They're hyping her finishing move, and it's if she can hit it on Asuka, which she didn't the last time they had a match, she can put Asuka down for the count.
Which they showed on TV.
Which they showed on TV. And of course, the moment will be Ember hits the eclipse and Asuka kicks out of the eclipse. That's going to be the moment in that match. I mean, honestly, like I said, I don't know where you go with Asuka after Ember.
You named the person who she could go after, but...
Kairi Sane?
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to see Asuka versus Kairi Sane. That would be sick.
Like, that's a name. There's other women who could be names. It's just, I don't know. I look at this situation where it's like, do I really want to see Asuka lose? And there's a little part of me that says, no, I don't ever want to see Asuka lose, especially in NXT. Coming up to the main roster, that's where I think her first loss should really happen.
she's almost eternal women's champion at this point. Like, she's just the permanent champion, that's it. Nobody's going to take it off of her, because she is that good. And the thing about Asuka is she really, despite her being a quote-unquote heel, she really hasn't won a lot by nefarious means.
And as most Ember pointed out, the one time, though.
The one time. Once out of 500 days as champions, you know, that's, for a heel, that's almost unheard of. That she straight up won everything except that one time. That's fairly impressive. I mean, it's almost to the point where it's like the streak with Taker. Don't want to see it end, but you know there's a really strong possibility with every time she defends that that title that she could lose, that it is going to end. Because how long can you have her as champion before you either move her up to the main roster or she moves on? Because she's not going to be happy staying down there as the permanent women's champion for the rest of her career. At some point, she's going to want to move on, and they're going to want to move on. So when do you pull the trigger on that?
The tough part about it is there was never any plans to bring her up. And I still haven't heard anything about the desire to bring her up. But it's coming to the point where it's 500 days. It's 500 days. Something has to give. What would you do, Omega? Would you bring her up at some point?
I would think if we're going to have a shakeup here within the next week, I think she comes up.
But where would she go?
Right now? Right now, since you're one short, I think you send her to Raw. Cause number one, I feel like she's got, well, because I know now I'm thinking like Charlotte and Becky. So maybe it's not such strong competition there. Like she could be good either direction.
Charlotte, Becky, and Naomi.
Yeah, that and she has a pretty good chance of ripping Lana's head off her shoulders.
Oh my god, she would kill Lana.
But I feel like, yes, like it's amazing that she's had that belt. And yeah, she is so identified with that women's title at this point. Yeah, but at the same time, what is she accomplishing by just adding more numbers to that total? Like she's already the point they made on the last episode of NXT was she's already top Goldberg. So if you've gone farther than that on your undefeated streak in the modern era, that's the pinnacle. I feel like Ember is the heir apparent to the women's division on NXT. I feel like that's what they eventually have to bring it to. You know, the same way, you know, Becky and Charlotte leave it to Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha leave it to Bailey. Bailey leaves it to Asuka. Asuka, I think you give her that one loss just to take the belt off of her, and then you have her show up on Raw. You know, she is still an indomitable force just because one person managed to get lucky one night.
See, I would bring up the Raw or SmackDown and with the belt and have them vacate the belt and you let the girls fight for it. I think the money is keeping her undefeated. I really do.
I don't think I don't think one loss is going to eliminate that aura.
But there's more money on making that one loss mean something on the main roster. There just is, but, at least to me.
But if you want to see NXT as a brand itself, there's money in putting that kind of crown on Ember as well. So here's a woman who beat all those women who are on the main roster and everyone who tried to come up to her in NXT. Wait, we have the one girl who managed to beat her.
It would legitimize, not that she needs it, but it would instantly legitimize Ember Moon. Like, instantly. Because she beats Asuka.
Yeah, and if they have any idea of bringing up Asuka at some point, you need to do that.
And the only way I can see putting the title, taking the title off of her without vacating it and without her taking a pinfall is you do the loss or she's in a three-way and she doesn't take the pin.
Which we thought would happen months ago.
Which we thought would happen months ago, but it didn't. But that's the only way that I see you can really do keep the mystique that you're talking about without her taking the loss in terms of the pinfall.
Yeah.
Is she doesn't technically lose the title. Or she doesn't technically lose. She was never pinned. But they get the title off of her in a three-way or a multi-man situation. And then she goes up. Because I feel like sending her up and vacating the title hurts the title.
I think it hurts that whole division. Well, none of you girls could beat Asuka, so we just have to take the belt off. Here, someone take it now. The belt none of you were good enough to get your own. I think it sends the wrong message if you vacate the title and just hand it to the rest of the roster. Okay, now you have a shot. Okay, it does wonders for Asuka going up to the main roster undefeated. It destroys your division in NXT.
And with the the division being as weak as it is right now, that's not going to do it any favors. It's really, really not. I feel like Ember's going to be the one to beat her. This is the now or never with Ember, because they did it way back at Mania between Ember and Asuka. Ember lost. They go to Chicago. Ember gets hurt. She can't wrestle Asuka. So they keep the title on Asuka until Ember gets better, and now we're doing Ember Asuka 3 or 2, technically. This is your moment with Ember. This is what you've built to with Ember, is to put the title on her. But Brent, what do you think?
Honestly, I think Asuka needs to drop it for the benefit of all of the women's division. She's run roughshod over them for over 500 days now. For over a year and a half, she has owned every single person that has come through that locker room that has tried to face her. There's nothing more that she can or needs to do with that belt. If you put it on Ember, you give a whole new set of challengers. You can try to refresh the division a bit. You can even bring in some of the people from the Classic to reinvigorate even more. But, Asuka with the belt there, yes, she's dominating. Yes, it's amazing to see someone hold the belt for that long. But I think from now on, it's just, we're getting to the point of the New Day with her where you're just going, okay, she's going to drop it. No. Okay, she should drop it. No. And I think eventually, I think it's come to the time where they just have to pull the trigger on this change. Free her up. I mean, we talked about before, maybe see Asuka chase a bit if you want to do that before she jumps up to the main roster. I mean, eventually she is going to make that jump, but I think it would add a whole new dynamic of if she gets beaten, what does she do next? Because the whole mystique has been she's undefeated. No one can take her down. What happens when that does get hung on her? How does she react? Does she become even scarier with the loss, or does it just shake things up in the division?
So, in terms of predictions, the video game has Asuka. The 8-Ball, I think, finally agrees with the video game for the first time tonight.
the video game's probably got Asuka scored at like 380.
And Ember's a creative wrestler. But, besides the point, 8-Ball agrees with the video game. In turn, you got who?
I've got to go with my team towards the end here, so I've got to go Ember.
I'm going Asuka, Omega.
Ember.
Lindsay.
Ember.
You stand with the inanimate objects, Rock.
And I'm fine with that. You'll be a traitor later. Up next is our main event. Drew McIntyre challenges Bobby Roode for the glorious NXT Championship, with a looming factor of Roderick Strong hanging around whatever he may do. What are your thoughts on this matchup, Lindsay?
This is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. McIntyre coming back. McIntyre facing Roode. I don't think did they ever face each other in TNA Impact?
Checking that now.
As he does their research, I don't think they've ever fought.
I know they were there at the same time, but I think by that point, Bobby was doing the Beer Money stuff with Storm again, and he was out of the title picture.
It looks like they were in multi-man matches. I'm not saying a one-on-one.
Okay, so this would be their first singles encounter. This should be interesting and fun.
I'm looking at a TNA video. I don't think it was from. I don't think it was from 1 year ago. It says it is. Oh, about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And it's a 6-man match. 5 of them are in WWE now. it's Jeff Jarrett, and then Matt Hardy, Eric Young, Drew Galloway, and Bobby Roode. I guess that's 4 out of 5.
He could do that. Was probably what, King of the Mountain, maybe.
There's a ladder. I don't know if there's a stupid cage.
Oh, Jesus God, the King of the Mountain.
Yeah, it's King of the Mountain.
Yeah,
there's a cage. It's King of the Mountain.
That's when Jeff came back and did.
Yeah, there's a stupid cage
when he did Slammiversary. Okay, before we get into the match, can we see a bunch of people playing bagpipes leading Drew McIntyre to the ring on Saturday?
Oh, if they're please,
wearing
yes.
kilts, I'm fine with this. Bobby needs the choir.
Yeah. I mean, it's the main event. They're both going to probably get some sort of big entrance. You would assume. Anyhow.
McIntyre just comes out carrying a giant claymore.
Oh, dude.
Just walks out and just places it right into the ground at the entrance.
I'm fine with this. I have no problem with this. You know? After Bobby's come out.
No.
Well, no, I guess before, because then Bobby has to come out and look at the sword. And be like, oh, okay, we're doing that. All right.
Oh, shit.
Roderick Strong is the looming factor in this, because you're not sure if he's going to get involved. You would assume he is, just because of how everything went down this past week on NXT and what's coming up, because Strong does get Rude after TakeOver. It's non-title.
No, it's a title match with Bobby Roode. He gets a title match with Bobby Roode if Bobby Roode retains.
So Strong comes out and costs Galloway?
He could come... McIntyre. Remember, he's McIntyre now.
Oh, I'm sorry. McIntyre. Right.
Drew.
Right.
He's Drew.
Drew! Comes out and costs Drew.
He could come out... Like, that's the thing. If you play it, it's like, he could screw Drew out of it to get his title shot, because with Drew as champion, Roddy's not guaranteed anything.
Right. He's got the guaranteed shot with Bobby, so he has a very vested interest in making sure Bobby keeps that title.
Because if you remember, Bobby came out to give him that shot. And you know, Bobby's a smart man. Bobby knows what he's doing.
Bobby's doing his best Triple H right now.
He is doing his best Triple H right now. Circa 2003-2004. It's sort of a thing. But Roddy is that looming factor who could play a role. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe these guys go out there and they have the match of a lifetime. Drew was on the Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesome that blows up my Twitter last week. And he was talking about they're going to go out there and do things that you don't expect from them. They're going out to steal the show on Saturday night. It's just one of those things, and I think they probably will. This one's tough because, again, there's many different situations, scenarios that could play out, including the Roderick Strong one. What do you think, Omega?
It's so... I do like how this is set up because you do have some interesting scenarios. Obviously, Bobby is setting it up so that he gets to win. He wins. He gets to retain his title by hook or by crook. And he set it up so someone else has to be the crook here. It's devious. It's heel-like. It's genius. It works. Sometimes it's hard to see it with someone like Roderick, because we have those build up packages, the Who is Roderick Strong videos that went over so well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you play him up as such, he's just so not that guy. I mean, it would be weird for me to go from those video packages, and like the last one was in May. It's not too long off. And then to turn around and go, well, hey, title, boom. I'll be the asshole. You know, it seems like they play the characters. He would be the bigger man and not go to that length. But it's a championship. It's WWE. It's good that I don't know how it's going to play out. Like, that's the point here, is that this is an interesting setup, and I don't know what the ending is going to be.
Yeah. I like that scenario. Good scenario, because things that are unexpected make for interesting television or interesting network specials. What do you think, intern?
I was just rolling something around in my head.
That's dangerous.
Yes, very much so. Combination of what we talked about earlier and what Omega kind of just touched on. So this pending quote-unquote invasion, or, you know, something big that could happen with NXT. They're bringing in the alumni to come see. You may have something with the young group. What if we had this young group that comes in and tries to make a statement by taking Bobby down? Something like a Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Adam Cole. They kind of join with a Drew Galloway to try and just take Bobby down and become the newer face of NXT. But someone comes out to save him to be a stand-up guy. As much as he hates Rude, in this way, it's, he saves Rude, he saves the title, he gets his shot, but he still gets to be the good guy in the situation. And yet you have this new dangerous force sitting there in the wings waiting to pick the bones of whoever's left between the two. Because we know Rude will leave him to the wolves. I don't know. The fact that Strong is sitting there adds a completely new dynamic to the whole thing.
Yeah. It's a whole, you know, we spent a long time on this card. A long, long time card for this card. We still have SummerSlam preview to come, everybody, so just stick around for that.
The show's going till midnight,
y'all. Warned you, it's going to be a long show. Who you got, Omega?
Oh, Christ. God, it's interesting how this all plays out. I'm more interested in how it plays out than who wins. Right now, I'm going to say Rude.
I'm going Bobby as well. I don't think it's time for Drew. He just came in. It doesn't make sense to just throw him the belt.
Look, I know you've been the chosen one for like 8 years, but we're going to wait on you a little bit longer.
He'll be the guy. He'll be the heir apparent to Bobby at some point, but it's not time. Because eventually Bobby will go to that main roster and kill it. Lindsay, who you got?
I'm sticking with Bobby. I don't see a reason to change the title. Like, I agree with the fact that it's way too soon for Drew to get it, and he just got there. I'm kind of tired of that trope of, hey, you come to NXT and you get the title right away. You know, Drew's whole message is, well, I had to earn it. I had to leave and come back to get my shot. And I feel like they're going to continue that trend with him, you know?
Yeah, in turn.
Redemption Tour continues. I see Strong taking the belt off of Bobby just even as a transitional to get to something like Drew or something else. But Bobby's got to leave New York with that belt first for that to happen.
So the 8-ball picks Bobby Roode, so we all agreed with it this time, while the video game went with Drew McIntyre.
God damn it, video game.
You're a fool, video game.
Get with the program!
Omega, plug your stuff.
If don't you chuckle at that. You can follow me pretty much anywhere online by one name, oh, except for Facebook, where you can find me over at TJ Reviews. However, if you like your Twitter, that is TJ Omega. If you like YouTube, that is TJ Omega, where I'm constantly posting content, especially around this time of year. And there is also TJOmega.net for a whole bunch of other stuff that YouTube doesn't want me to post, but it's still really good.
You heard him, everyone. He said net.
.net. Yes. A little bit different.
It is. Intern, plug whatever your social is.
When I ever have time to do social media, you can find me at Twitter under the name Kane Kittens. Other than that, I'm stuck in a basement and with a graduate program and a start of cycle coming up, my non-existent social life takes even more of a hit, so goodbye sunlight.
And he'll continue penning letters to Eva Marie.
God damn you, Rock, you son of a bitch.
Anyway, send us a break.
Alrighty, well, we're going to take a break after that very long first segment, and when we come back, we're going to have a second very long segment, because we're doing Tweet of the Week and our SummerSlam preview. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Creating greatness, one episode at a time.
All right, so let's all go through the beer that Rob has had to drink today.
On September 9th, we surpassed some of the greatest of all time. Tune in to the 500th episode of Your Only Excuse to be home on a Saturday night. CB Radio, September 9th, midnight-ish Eastern Time only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I know I have a problem and I'm willing to accept it.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
You could get high or you could get low. You could stay young or you could grow old. Let it go. Cause I'm a go for broke. You could go hard or you could go home. You could live life or you could just fold. Let it go. I'm a go for broke.
Look, I started with a dollar and a dream, right? So I can show these people how to dream, right? I can show them how to aim for the stars.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com. They're awesome. You should totally check them out because, well, we said so. And if you're just joining us, you missed the news, you missed NXT, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Xavier Woods. because I saw this and I had to grab it real quick. For a friendship day, Kofi felt the need to creepily take pictures of Big E and myself for over a year and post them today. And it's a video of Xavier looking at Kofi's phone, and it's the picture of them standing at the urinals, and he's showing the date, which is March 11th at 12:11 p.m. in Niagara. And Xavier's like, why? Why would you do this? And Kofi's standing there eating a taco, laughing his butt off. It's hilarious. Like, he's just standing there cackling, trying not to lose the taco. Drew Gulak. When you let Aria Daivari drive, hashtag WWE Toronto, and it is a picture of Drew Gulak, Jack Gallagher, and Tony Nese in the back seat of a car. So imagine that visual. All looking fearful for their life. At least two of them. Tony Nese is just kind of, you know, there, enjoying the moment. To which Aria Daivari replies, those mailboxes swerved into my lane.
Right.
Stu Bennett, a.k.a. Wade Barrett. Guess the Starbucks chap wasn't impressed with the name Stu, hashtag we are one, and it's a picture of his Starbucks with Nexus on it.
There are five people who still remember Nexus. That person was one of them.
And I think Slater replied to it, didn't he?
I believe so, yes.
Hold on 1 second, we're gonna live tweet of the week this. Slater replies, it might be a sign, brother.
Brother, 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 brother.
So that's my tweet of the week. What's yours?
All right, not SportsCenter. Source, the NFL suspended Ezekiel Elliott 6 games because they were already tired of hearing Cowboys fans say they win the Super Bowl. We're looking at you, intern, who was just on air with us. Three-way booth, fun fact. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins never touched fist. They always had Roman in the middle. This is neither a fact nor fun. Kyle Lewis, keep it 5-star. Big Cast music went from 90s 1 in WWE 2K18 to Hardcore 2. Hashtag Raw. His theme is still not any better.
But they're working on it.
Yeah. James McKenna. Finn is squirming around like that because it's syrup and he can't have carbs. Hashtag Raw. Kyle Lewis. Finn Balor is going to be a Brooklyn demon. Going to crawl to the ring in Tim's and a fit it. The dead ass demon. I mean, you know, if anyone can portray the Undertaker, look, Finn Balor can, maybe.
I go with that.
Kyle Lewis, Jason Jordan, backstage at Raw. Big Cast got new music. Maybe I did too. Basketball_game, MIDI plays, size, then walks to the ring. Jeremy Bowder, coming soon from WWE and Vivid Video. Shane and AJ, the Forbidden Lust. Kyle Lewis, Baron Corbin on SmackDown Live. Good thing this briefcase came in handy. Wait a minute. Runs into cash.
Too soon.
And that's for the week. And if you missed our SmackDown Live recap, which we did live on Tuesday night, check it out. Now available at rockradioshow.com. So, because, you know, we bring you tons and tons of content. And now we bring you tons and tons of content for SummerSlam, which takes place live this Sunday on the WWE Network. And because it's SummerSlam, and because it's a thing, we have WTR Pick'em. And this go-around, we actually have a giveaway.
We do?
We do. Thanks to the fine folks over at Warner Brothers, we have a copy, a digital copy, of Pure Country, Pure Heart, starring, or featuring, rather, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Who fancy.
Who just so happened to be on this show, promoting it, about a month ago. Coincidence?
Maybe.
Maybe. Do tie things together, that's where it will get you. So, here we are. Go to twitter.com/rackradioshow or twitter.com/wildtalkradio where you can drop your picks. You can go to Facebook group, the best place to do it, facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork. Leave your picks there. You can also email media@wildtalkradio.com. That's out of the way. Now let's get into the meat and potatoes of the thing. Our first matchup we're going to discuss is Randy Orton versus Rusev. So far, we've seen Rusev wanting competition, Randy Orton accepting the challenge, getting super kicked, and this week, Randy got a little bit of revenge after the matchup between Rusev and Chad Gable, coming out of nowhere, hitting an RKO. Your thoughts, predictions, etc. on this match?
I'm lukewarm on this match, honestly. I mean, it's Randy Orton versus another foreign heel. I don't know why they keep putting Randy Orton against the foreign heels, but they do.
Because they only have foreign heels on SmackDown.
I know, but it's like right after gender. You're kind of sitting there and you're like, oh, okay, he's facing another foreign heel.
He could have faced Kevin Owens, who, you know, is a foreign heel. Just wanted to point that out. Kevin Owens is, in fact, a foreign heel.
But he's Canadian. Does that really count?
So is gender. Point,
but they haven't officially said he's Canadian.
Point proven. 1 point me. Gender's Canadian.
But they never Of course that gender's Canadian.
I don't care. He's Canadian.
But he doesn't identify as Canadian.
Doesn't matter. He's Canadian.
Anyway.
Point to me. Just put it down in the record books. Point to me.
Anyway, moving on. It's Randy Orton versus another foreign heel. I don't see any reason to have Randy Orton lose. It's going to be Orton. They don't seem interested in pushing Rusev, so Orton.
So looking up and down the card, you need heels to win. There are only a couple of occasions where you can conceivably see a heel winning. In this one, as it would hurt my fantasy team if Randy Orton lost, God knows I need the points. God knows I can't win.
Yeah, we're both out of WTR fantasy at this point, so we don't care.
I'm going Rusev, just because Randy got the RKO out of nowhere. That's why I'm going Rusev, because a heel needs to win somewhere. And if Big Cass is the only heel winning on SummerSlam, then we have a problem.
But I don't think Big Cass is the only heel winning.
But we'll get to that. So, for the record, the WWE 2K17 predictions will come on Friday. They'll be available on the YouTube channel. So, intern, better check that tomorrow. Anyway, the 8-Ball, however, says Rusev beats Randy Orton.
The 8-Ball is a traitor.
It agreed with me.
It's a traitor.
It's a traitor, okay.
It's a traitor.
So that's one match out of 12 done. Number 2, the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Now, it's Tozawa defending against Neville. Because on Monday Night Raw, as we all saw, Tozawa finally ended the King's reign. Which he went on Twitter. Here's an additional tweet of the week. Neville tweeted no. Quote tweet no. Quote tweet no. Quote tweet no.
He had a moment on Twitter.
He did.
It was adorable.
He did have a moment.
And then he was wandering around in a daze backstage.
And then on 205 Live, he was still, you know, counting down the hours and minutes of Tozawa's reign and how it was going to end on Sunday.
You know, honestly, I could see this going two ways. Option A, the simplest, Tozawa retains. Option B, they put it back on Neville. Like, Tozawa winning was a fluke, and they put it back on Neville. I don't know which I want more. That's the problem. There are a couple matches like that, because it's like, I'm really happy Tozawa won the title. He's so adorable. He's really good. I just...
you forgot about option C. Oh, wait, he quit the company. Never mind. Was that a shot? Kind of. Not really.
Which one quit the company? You gotta be way more specific than that. There have been a couple that have done that.
Remember who created Option C in TNA Wrestling?
Yes, I know who you're talking about, but that, additional shots.
That, and this is the Cruiserweight thing I was taking.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. But just taking, anyway, overhead. Anyway!
Boom!
So...
Akira Tozawa retains the Cruiserweight title on Sunday. If they're... You do not in a, say, 8-month title reign and then change it back 6 days later. I'm sorry, you don't.
You could.
You could, but I doubt it.
I feel like Neville needs a little bit of a break from the title, and I feel like the title needs a little bit of a break from Neville.
I think
plus, they're doing the Titus Worldwide thing.
And if the Titus Worldwide thing is going to have any credibility, it needs a champion. Who better than Tozawa?
And I like that they're making Tozawa, so yeah, I say Tozawa retains. Because I just like Tozawa. He's adorable.
It just needs to be a thing for a little while. Neville will get the belt back. Could be as early as No Mercy or later
I
down
the... I keep Neville away from the title for a while. Just because the money's in the chase, right?
Oh, yeah. The money's in the chase. But again, the babyface champion thing runs... And if they can get a couple more heels going, then yes, it's fine. But right now, it's hard on with the Cruiserweights. We'll see how long the Cruiserweights last. Let's put it like that. The 8-Ball agrees with Tozawa is going to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. Up next, Big Show versus Big Cass with Enzo in a shark cage. We have now added the factor of Big Show broke his hand on Monday Night Raw. That will make this match so much better. Big Show working with one hand and unable to hit, you know, a choke slam or a big knockout punch because his hand is injured.
He has two.
But he's a righty, not a lefty.
He can work on his southpaw a little bit.
Is this southpaw regional?
It could be.
Which, by the way, okay.
He may want to chat it.
By the way, they've filmed some stuff for it.
I know. I'm so excited.
And a little side note on that whole thing about southpaw regional wrestling. Cena posted an Instagram picture the other day about it. But a few weeks ago when Jericho returned to SmackDown for that 1 week, it was because he was backstage filming southpaw regional wrestling. And they talked them into doing a match.
Fair enough.
That's a little side note. Can you tell we're not interested in this matchup? Can we tell it's stupid to have Enzo in a shark cage? Yes, it is.
I'm just curious. Does the winner get Enzo?
But
like, what is the point of Enzo being in the shark cage other than it's literally just to dangle Enzo Amore above the ring?
They're
like a pinata.
Okay, please WWE, do not give Enzo Amore a live microphone in the shark cage.
Oh God, that would no.
That would be an awful idea.
No.
That would be an awful idea.
It would be an awful idea, but at the same time, I watch wrestling on mute generally, so it wouldn't be a problem for me.
That's you, not me. It would be my problem.
Mute? Do you have a mute button?
I like listening for the sounds.
I know, but I can't stand the commentary. It bothers me.
I understand
most of the time.
I understand this, but I listen for the sounds.
But anyway, that's a whole different conversation.
Big Cass wins.
Please. Yeah, Big Cass wins. Please, God, let this be the last match. And please, God, move them all on. Because this is going nowhere. It's sucking wind. I think everybody's pretty much lost interest in it.
Here's the
thing. Please move Big Cass on.
Here's the thing, okay? Is this all a setup to turn Enzo Amore heel?
Why would you turn Enzo heel?
I'm just saying.
He turns on Big Show?
He turns on Big Show and reunites with Cass because they realize this Cass singles run is not going to work.
You could, but then what's the point of this, the last month to 6 weeks with Cass? The whole reason Cass broke up with Enzo in the first place was because Enzo was holding him back, and Enzo's a fool. So now it's, you're going to have Enzo turn on Big Show? Or you're going to say, oh, this was part of our master plan all along, was to lure Big Show into a false sense of security with Enzo? Like, you can't do that.
I'm just throwing it out there. That's all I did.
I know you.
Throw it out there.
I know, but it's like, it makes no sense. I mean, it would be better to move Big Cass onto someone else, or move Big Cass onto another show altogether, hint, hint, wink, wink, put him with his girlfriend, and go from there.
Yeah. By the way, happy birthday to Cass. Happened this week.
Happy birthday, Cass!
We totally are huge fans. How you doing?
Between the two, I do like Cass better. It's just the way that they're writing Cass right now, because it's not Cass's fault. It's the writing. It's just like, come on.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
It's really, I mean, just really shoddy, really basic, really boring. Just Cass is so much better than that, and I feel like they could do something way more interesting with Cass. I just don't know what it is, but I feel like it could be way more interesting than what this is, because it's like, okay, you have these two friends, they turn on each other, and you just have Enzo getting killed week after week after week by Cass. And we said this when Enzo and Cass broke up, which is they both have a shelf life. Enzo's hitting his shelf life. He's coming out, he's doing the same shtick week after week after week, which is what he's always done. And it was getting tiresome then. And it's getting tiresome now. Cass is trying, and they're trying to give him something, but it's just I think this is a problem with a lot of the talent, is they don't know what to do with them. They don't know how to write them. So it's just, we're just going to do this, because they don't know who they are. It's like they're breaking all these guys up, and they're putting them out on their own, and it's like, they don't have a character, they don't have an idea of where they're going with it, they don't have anything, it's just they're coming out of a tag team, and it's, this was their identity in the tag team, well, now he's a heel, and he can't be who he was when he was with Enzo, so now they have to find him a brand new identity. And they're trying to figure that out week after week after week as they stall for time, because normally it's like, a lot of these characters come fully fleshed out from NXT, well, in this case, he didn't, because they were heel, and then they went face, and they came up as a face. Like, I don't think Cass has ever been on his own. Or if he has, it's been a really long time.
I think it's been a very long time. I can't remember. No, so he was when he first came in. He was Colin Cassidy. And then he got paired up with Enzo.
But that was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time since then.
So,
and clearly he was not getting over.
No. So it's like, I can see how they're trying to figure this out with Cass. And I can see Cass trying to figure it out. And that's why I'm saying, it's like, if you move him to SmackDown, SmackDown's a little bit more forgiving. You could put him over there. You could team him up with Carmella. You could put him on his own. But it gets him away from Enzo, which is good, and allows him the chance to sort of flush things out, you know?
Oh, yeah. By the way, Magic 8-Ball says Big Show.
Ooh, that traitor.
The traitor. And now we have the newest match announced because, you know, they continue to throw matches our way. It is The Miz and The Miztourage versus Jason Jordan and the Hardy Boys. On Monday Night Raw, we saw the Hardys and Jason Jordan get the win. Now we're here on the pay-per-view. My gut tells me it's going to be the same result. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're throwing this on last minute. I guess they timed out the show and realized the show was short. Maybe it's going on the pre-show. Who knows?
It's pre-show.
Oh, it's pre-show? Okay, so they timed out the pre-show and it was too short. Yeah, I mean, I'd say the Hardys win. It's a good feel-good moment. Plus, it's Shelton Benjamin. Or not Shelton Benjamin, Jason Jordan. Sorry, Jason. Sorry. We were talking about Shelton Benjamin earlier and just, you know. Anyway, let's not go down that road. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to push Jason Jordan, and it's the Hardys. But on the plus, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel made the show.
They did make the show. That is the plus on that one. So my guys are fighting each other. That will help in my fantasy. As we've been talking about, that doesn't help my fantasy at all. So, yeah.
Obi-Wan Omega, he's our only hope of stopping Tim.
We must destroy the Stein. So I'm going Team Hardys. You're going Team Hardys. So is the Magic 8-Ball. It's that obvious, right?
Yes, we think.
Up next, SmackDown Tag Team Titles on the line. The New Day versus the Usos.
New Day.
New Day won the belts at Battleground. Usos are cashing in their rematch. The Usos beat the New Day on SmackDown this past Tuesday night. This on the pay-per-view is scheduled to be Xavier Woods and Big E, which is why they attacked and injured Kofi during the finish of the match on Tuesday. Yeah, New Day's retaining. I mean, again, it's one of those situations where it's like, you kind of see the writing on the wall. New Day, it's New Day. It's New Day. It's you talk about moving people in different directions, right?
Yeah.
You got to move these two teams apart. We've been there. We've done that. We've seen all the matches they can have. They've been really, really good matches, but we've seen it all. And it's something where you need a third team. You need a fourth team on SmackDown. A third team could be, you know, Breezango. A fourth team could be, I don't know, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Or,
yeah, they're not going to give me that.
Or it could be the loser of the Authors of Pain Sanity matchup on Saturday.
I think that's a better option at this point than what anything else they could do. Or an option that they're more willing to do, because obviously they're not willing to put Luke and Eric back together.
No, they're really not, no.
Give me my children! Give them to me!
The 8-Ball agrees with us, New Day at retaining. Is there anything else we need to add about this match?
No.
All right. SmackDown Women's Championship. Naomi versus Natalya. Natalya got her shot back at Battleground during the Fatal 5-Way elimination where she beat Charlotte to get this spot. And there's been a lot of tease of Carmella cashing in.
No. After Baron, don't do it. Don't cash it in. I'm going to say Naomi, because from everything I've heard, the plan is to keep the title on her for the rest of the year.
It would.
At least that's the rumored plan.
It would make sense, since they're, you know, have budgetary matters, and they spent a lot of money glowing up the belt. It would make sense to have Naomi have a long title reign to make, you know, glowing up the belt mean something.
Well, and you can build to her losing the title, because it's like, again, you build that story between her and Carmella, and you tell that story between her and Carmella of Carmella teasing the cash in and Naomi kind of having to look over her shoulder. Because again, it's like, this is the first Women's Money in the Bank this year. Carmella is the inaugural winner. Save her that moment. Have her mess with Naomi's head. Actually, have her enjoy it.
Actually use the Money in the Bank, you know, correctly.
They never do that.
And not a slip on the banana peel like Baron Corbin, who we'll talk about in a minute.
Poor Baron.
Naomi and Natalya have a chance to have a really good match. The key is time. On a loaded show, time is precious.
I say they're probably only going to get about 10 minutes.
And here's
for everything.
And that's everything. And the key is everything. Natty has a 30-second entrance. Naomi, on the other hand, she has a big entrance.
And she'll get a bigger entrance because of SummerSlam.
Right. So it's one of those things where Naomi's entrance may take away from time the match gets. I'm going to guess around a 10-minute. Maybe we'll get a 10-minute match with 3-4-minute entrances or whatever.
Probably, yeah.
We will get the better match on SmackDown Live Tuesday. Calling my shot. They're doing the rematch on Tuesday in Brooklyn. Same type of crowd. You know the drill. If it's not this coming week, it will be the next week. They're going to do the rematch on SmackDown. They'll have the better match. Because there'll be more time given. That being said, Naomi's retaining. Nothing against Natty. We love Natty. She's here to help. She's here to help Naomi grow. It's not about putting the focus on Natty.
I would agree with that.
That's my thought process.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, God love Natty. We all love Natty, but I think it's more about using Natty to help get the other girls over and, you know, move the other girls on, which is fine. You know, that's a very, very good role for Natty. And at some point, they may give her another title, right? And they may not, but they're sort of looking at their roster, and it's like, you look who's there, and Natty's champion is like, yeah, okay, yeah, we could do that, or we could do this. Like, it's that always the bridesmaid, never the bride kind of thing for Natty.
Right. And here's the thing. With the idea of pushing Tamina as a heel, Naomi would be the face. That seems to be the direction they're going.
Yep.
It makes no sense to take the belt off. Now, if there was a match where they could have a heel win, I wouldn't be surprised if Natty somehow won the belt and they flip it back on Tuesday. It could be one of those scenarios where it's like Vince and everyone goes, this card seems very predictable. Let's do something unpredictable. I'm just saying this could be one of those matches. Because again, it's easy to flip-flop a belt. Anyway, Naomi retains Sosa Stable. Speaking of that banana peel, John Cena, Baron Corbin, ago.
Okay. All right. We talked about this last night, or actually I should say Tuesday night. And I'm going to be hopeful. I'm going to be positive that you burned Baron's money in the bank to have Baron Corbin come out and annihilate John Cena. That he's so pissed off. He's so infuriated by this that he just comes out and he just destroys Cena and gets a win over Cena. Like, I'm going to be really, really, really hopeful for this. I would hate that they burn Baron's money in the bank and they have him go out and job to Cena. Because that confirms what's going on with Baron. Like, I'm really hoping the plan for him is it's like, okay, we get the money of the bank out of the way. We don't have to worry about that anymore. That's not a factor. Now they can push Baron without the money in the bank. And the first thing you do is you have him get a major victory over John Cena. And it's a major in the sense that he just, like I said, he just annihilates him and beats him up so bad he sends John Cena to Raw. And that's Baron's whole thing. It's the I beat up John Cena. And I beat him so bad he tucked his tail between his legs and he went back to Raw. That's what I want for Baron Corbin. Will it happen? I don't know, but that's what I want for him.
Every time you say beat up John Cena, I think AJ Styles. And the club.
Well,
and the club, you know.
Well,
it's like what they like to do. Beat up John Cena. There apparently is some heat on Mr. Corbin. He's gone out on the socials and sort of done things he shouldn't be doing on the socials. He's also blocked some WWE people on the socials. Baron, the mute function. Use the mute function. Don't use the block function.
No, he just... He wants them blocked.
It may save your job if you use the mute function.
Who did he block?
I don't know. I've just heard he's blocked some WWE people.
Yeah, but Kevin Owens does that.
But there's more to it. Anyway. That's beside the point. Everything you just said should be the way it's booked. Do I see it going that way? No. Especially since WWE pointed out like John Cena's on a losing streak at SummerSlam. John Cena's winning this match.
No. There's no reason for him to.
Other than he's John Cena.
I know, but it's like, why are you going to do that to Baron? Like, I don't understand that. You put all this time and all this energy into Baron.
Then have him lose by a schoolboy 1-2-3 to Jinder Mahal. There's the damage. We talked about it on Tuesday. That was the damage.
Yeah, I know that was the damage.
You're not going to recover it. John Cena's winning this match.
I'm going to hope against hope, Baron.
That would do wonders for my fantasy team, but I'm going John Cena.
I'm sure I'm wrong, but I'm going Baron.
The A-ball agrees with me. John Cena's going over.
Such a traitorous A-ball. Oh my god.
It likes me. It really, really likes me.
Yeah.
Which is never good for me anyhow. Up next, Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. Wait, the demon Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. And I go.
Bray, honey, sweetheart, I love you. You know this. Not really, because he doesn't know I exist. But honey, you're going to die. You're going to die so bad on Sunday, because you've made Finn Balor mad. And you wouldn't like him when he's mad. He also doesn't like sticky, non-blood, totally blood type substances dumped all over him. I mean, this has been a good feud. They're heating it up. I really wish they had held the demon off a little bit longer. Like, I'm slightly disappointed that they did the match on Monday and had it be the catalyst for the demon to come out. Like, that to me is like, oh, you could have saved that. But I get it. It's SummerSlam. You want to have a big moment. You want to do a big entrance for Balor. You know, it's coming up essentially on around the time that he hurt his shoulder.
He hurt it at SummerSlam.
He heard it at SummerSlam, so it's kind of that full circle sort of moment for him. I get that, but again, I wish they'd held the demon off just a little bit longer and just build that anticipation. But whatever, they're going to do it, which is fine.
They brought out the decrepit bucket filled with a vicious red acidic fluid. That's what they did.
Yes, that's what they did, and had Bray dump it all over Finn, and then Bray thoroughly enjoy himself right there in the middle of the ring. but that's neither here nor there. It's going to hurt my fantasy team, but Finn. It's going to be Finn. You're going to have Finn Balor beat Bray Wyatt, unless by some miracle Bray summons some sort of unholy magic to beat the demon. But you can't have Finn get pissed off, bring out the demon, and have him lose. Or you could, but my money's on Finn.
Has the demon ever lost?
Not on main roster TV.
Who did the demon lose to on NXT? Samoa Joe?
It was Joe. He lost the title to Joe. He lost his rematch, and then he came up.
Right. He lost the rematch. Yeah, because the first match, when he lost the belt, he wasn't the demon because it was the house show. And then they did the demon.
Yeah, because they did the cage match.
Right, he lost the cage match in demon gear. This is the second appearance. Will be the second match for the demon on the main roster. I would save the demon as a specialty. And to keep the spectacle of the demon needs to win for now. It feels like they're ending the feud really abruptly. Could be because Finn Balor could be head of the SmackDown. Just because they need to get Finn off of Raw. Just to give him a different look and a different group of people to work with. More of his people. Or seem to be on SmackDown. That being said, going Finn to win, I would expect some shenanigans with the demon. I expect the demon to have a really cool entrance. And on a side note, Finn Balor knows how to do arts and crafts.
Yes, he does.
There's a picture floating online that he put out on the Twitters or Instagrams or something like that of him painting the demon getup on Roman Reigns. Finn Balor, everybody. He's taken his Photoshop skills to real life. With paint.
I was so proud. But yeah, this match should be good. I mean, the match that they had on Monday was good. They never hit third gear. If they get the time to hit third gear on Sunday, it should be better. It should be decent. But, you know, again, it's how physical they want to get with each other, which I'm hoping they ramp it up. Because this is the second match. The demon's coming out to play. It should be way more physical than when it was Monday. Bray, honey. Oh, honey, you in trouble. You are so in trouble.
The 8-ball says Bray Wyatt loses. So, up next, we have the WWE Raw Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, defending against Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is coming in to win for Bayley. So, she's coming in for Bayley, and it's one of those things where it's like, was the plan to put the belt back on Bayley?
I think it... You see, I don't know. Because it's like, based on the reaction to Bayley, I don't think it was.
But from a storyline sense, it made sense to.
But it's like, at this point, they've weakened Bayley so much that I don't think it would have been a good idea to put the title back on her because she got booed. Bayley got booed, y'all. So I think they've just weakened her character to the point that they need to do a little work on her before they put the title on her again. And talk again to build that anticipation of her getting the title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, you know, she loses and she gets the match again with Alexa and she wins the title back. There's no ooh-ah moment with that. You know, it's like, I feel like every time Bayley gets that title, it should be special. Right. It should mean something. And just giving it to her on SummerSlam, which is pretty special, but not really, because there hasn't been a lot of, like, there's a story behind Alexa and Bayley, but it's a craptastic story behind there. So I feel like the story should be better, it should be hotter, it should be more. Like, you should have Bayley really driving to get that title, and she wasn't.
So now there's more personal heat between Sasha and Alexa. Is Sasha going to win?
I don't think so.
Why not?
As much as I love Sasha, I don't want her to get that title back just yet. I feel like Alexa's got way more to do as a champion. I would give her a nice long reign with that title and have her lose it later on. Possibly when Bayley's better, possibly at the end of the year. I couldn't say when, but I just, as much as I love Sasha, the idea of Sasha being champion does nothing for me. Like, nothing for me.
And isn't the feud Nia versus Alexa?
Technically, but because they're girlfriends right now, it's sort of postponed. And I just see, when I think of the champions, and I think of Alexa and I think of Sasha, I feel like there's more options for Alexa, but that's just me.
It's the same amount, honestly. Again, it's heel-face dynamics on this show, and I think in this case, the heel will win. I think. But it's Brooklyn, and they want to make a big deal about Brooklyn. We'll be long, or I am going to be wrong. And I'm going Alexa Bliss. You sticking with Alexa?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Lexa. I mean, I don't see the reason to put the title on Sasha right now. Again, when Sasha gets it for, what, a fourth time? Mm-hmm. I feel like it should be another special moment, and this is just sort of Sasha got thrown in there last minute because Bailey got hurt, so there's really nothing behind this beyond the personal grudge that the legit personal grudge that Sasha and Alexa have against each other, and to me that's just not enough. Like, I'm not seeing the reason to change the title right now, so I would keep it on Alexa. Like, she's doing fine with it, so let her run with it.
The 8-Ball agrees with us. Alexa Bliss is going over. By the way, for those just tuning in, this is the Rack's SummerSlam preview spectacular right here on the Rack right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com. That's where about two-thirds through the show. No, we're halfway through the show at this point. But there's so many matches. So many matches.
This is such a huge show. Oh my god.
It really, really is. Alright, up next. In one of the matches that has been built probably the best? I would say the second or third best built match on the show. And it's the Raw Tag Team title match. Cesaro and Sheamus against Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. They have built Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins getting together so well.
They've told that story perfectly. 100%. Just love how they did that. Love how they brought that together. How they worked through all that. And the go home was Dean and Seth finally bumping fists and reuniting.
Now,
that was just perfect.
Now the key is they paid it off with the fisting on Raw. But to make the fisting matter, they gotta get the belts, right?
Do they?
I would say they do.
I mean, here's the thing.
You're not gonna put them together and not put the belts on them.
But there's still issues there.
Unless the plan is to do Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, they have to win the belts.
I don't think they do. They're probably going to, but here's the thing, is like, that story isn't over. Like, you just can't have them bump fists and everything be fine. There's still gotta be trust issues there. And the trust issues could play a factor. You could also see Sheamus and Cesaro capitalize on that, where they know there's still issues there, and they use those to their advantage.
But I think we're at the boiling point where it's like, if you don't capitalize on it, then you'll never get the momentum you want from it. Say you give them the belts about a month later, you won't have the same momentum.
But the moment is them coming back together. The moment is them working together.
And working together to have success. And the success is the tag titles on Sunday.
I just don't see it. I mean, I see it, but I don't see it. I'm going to say Dean and Seth are going to win because Dean and Seth probably are going to win. It's just, to me, I feel like there's more story they can tell between those two without the tag team titles. Plus, you know, selfish reasons, fantasy and all.
Well, then,
not that it really matters, but...
Well, then pick Cesaro and Sheamus.
No, I'm going to pick Dean and Seth. Because
don't go. Don't make the whole argument for Cesaro and Sheamus and not pick them. Come on now.
I'll make the argument any way I want, damn it.
I mean, you're making this strong case for them to win to keep the belts. It's like, no, I'm still going to pick Dean and Seth.
Well, no, the only reason I'm saying that is like, you could have Dean and Seth win, but they win by DQ or something like that.
Okay, so
you're... Where Cesaro and Sheamus capitalize.
Okay, so you don't think they get the belts, you just think they win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, they find that beginning of success, and they build to getting the tag team titles, because it just, to me, it feels incredibly rushed to just, you know, you put them together and then boom, they get the tag team titles. Like, I don't feel like it should be that instant success, because that's not what they were in the Shield. They had to build to getting the titles, and I feel like it should be the same way here, where Dean and Seth have to work through working together again and figuring that out. And once they figure that out, they click. And they get the titles. But it's like, again, Dean isn't going to be 100% trusting of Seth. Sheamus and Cesaro are going to know that. And so it's, okay, all right, let's take advantage of this and play one off the other. Because Seth, you know, nobody is convinced that Seth is not secretly running an angle against Dean, which he could be. To what end, I don't know, but he could be. So I'm saying something happens where there's a DQ and Sheamus and Cesaro keep the titles, but Dean and Seth win. It's called... line right there, writing it.
And here you could have agreed with the 8-Ball, because the 8-Ball is picking Cesaro and Sheamus. I'm going with 2/3 of the Shield.
I don't agree with traitors. It's a traitor.
Okay. We'll just move on.
Watch me agree with it in the next match. Just watch it happen, y'all.
United States Championship is on the line when Kevin Owens and AJ Styles battle. They've been trading the belts back and forth over the last few months. And Shane McMahon's going to be the special guest referee. Thanks to Daniel Bryan. On SmackDown, we saw a super kick right to the face of Commissioner Shane McMahon, thanks to Kevin Owens, who was showing some concern. Maybe it was fake concern, but who knows? Will the face of America, the new face of America, win back the U.S. title?
No, I don't think so.
It feels like the program is Shane versus Kevin, in whatever manner it is, whether it's a singles match, a Survivor Series tag match. It feels like that's the direction. And if you can build the tension correctly and build it like not hotshot it and do it over a few months, you could really have something cool there with Shane and Kevin. AJ and Kevin need to break apart because they've been feuding since May. They need to split. AJ needs a new opponent. Kevin needs a new opponent. AJ's got to retain, right?
I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, go ahead. Have AJ retain the title. Move on from there. You move Kevin on to Shane. Like, something happens where Shane could inadvertently cost Kevin the match, or Shane makes a bad call against Kevin, something that, you know, sets Kevin off, which is relatively easily done, and you go from there.
That's probably pretty much what's going to happen. So AJ's retaining, according to me and you, but did the A-Ball agree with us? Nope. It's going Kevin Owens. There's that traitor for you.
Yep.
Up next, the WWE Championship match. Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh my god, this is so hard to call. This is like one of those that you're sitting on the fence and you're going, okay, alright. So you're putting Shinsuke in the title match. So technically, Shinsuke could win, but it's against Jinder, who they're pushing really hard right now because of India. But they're probably looking to push Shinsuke really hard because Japan. So who do you pick? Which country?
Pick Baron Corbin. Wait, oh, never mind.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That was your theory. If Shinsuke wins the title and then Corbin cashes in. Nope.
Here's a key note. WWE Champion Jinder Mahal is scheduled to accompany UFC fighter to the ring on September 9th. Random guy Jinder Mahal accompanying a guy to the ring doesn't mean as much as WWE Champion accompanying UFC guy to the ring.
Do they want their title on UFC TV?
I don't think the belt would be on the TV, but you could refer to him as WWE champion on TV.
But you could also say former WWE champion.
But what holds more stock? Former or current?
I just, bless Jinder, and I'm going to be nice about this, so let me get it out before you correct me.
By the way, this is me making a case for Jinder.
I know.
Let's just think about that, and I've been against Jinder the entire time.
I feel like Jinder's sort of run his course, at least as a heel. I'm still going to forever make this argument that Jinder needs to be a babyface. Jinder should be a babyface. He's a babyface in India. So why isn't he a babyface everywhere else? That doesn't make sense.
Zero.
To me.
Makes zero sense.
Beyond, it's all Americans are jerks. Look how bad we are. We're horrible, horrible people. We're booing Jinder Mahal. Which is great TV in India.
Who cares? We're not in India.
We love India. We love you, India! Be nice. Anyway, I feel like Jinder's run his course. I know the novelty of it has kind of worn off, and I honestly believe that they wanted to keep him champion until the end of the year, at least. But it's Shinsuke. I feel like Shinsuke get the better reception. He would draw more interest than Jinder.
There has been no growth with the Jinder Mahal character. We've reverted back already to having a celebration for him, which is the only thing that got over when he first won the title. His promos are the same. He has not changed the verbiage once, except for changing Randy Orton to Shinsuke. That's the only difference. There's been no change in the character. And even the build to the match has been awful, or rather, non-existent, because all it was Shinsuke winning a match. And they had one face-off on SmackDown this past Tuesday. That's it. That's as far as the build has gone. There's no heat on this match. Jinder should lose. Tired of Jinder. Everyone is tired of Jinder. There's good heat and there's bad heat. He has bad heat because no one cares. There's been no growth in this character in 4 months.
I would say not everybody is tired of Jinder. I think there are people who are genuinely happy for Jinder, but at the same time, it's like it's run its course. You know, you sort of burn through everything with Randy Orton, and now you have Shinsuke. Shinsuke gets a much more positive reaction. People, I think, would respond better to Shinsuke as champion. But Shinsuke's a face. That's what's supposed to happen.
Not only is Shinsuke a face, he's a superstar.
He's an artist. But Shinsuke...
He's a superstar. He's not an artist. He's a superstar.
Yes. I feel like Shinsuke honestly does not wrestle enough at this point to validate him losing a match like this.
He's SmackDown's Brock Lesnar. And he should be treated that way. Except for Shinsuke's on the road every week and does all the house shows and et cetera, et cetera. But he's...
In terms of TV,
he's the special attraction. He had a huge match with John Cena. That was his best match since coming up to the main roster. He needs to be put in positions where he's the money player. Because let's think about this. He's not a spring chicken. You can only capitalize on the charisma and the popularity of Shinsuke Nakamura now, because 2 years from now, it may not be there because he may not be healthy enough to be in the position he is in right now.
Yeah. And also, WWE's getting ready to do a tour of Japan soon, too. So, this is a really, really, really difficult match to call. I'm going with my heart and my gut. I want Shinsuke to win. I feel like Shinsuke should. I mean, Jinder's had a great run. You can always put the title back on Jinder at any point. But you need to give it to Shinsuke, because he hasn't done enough on the main roster yet to really justify losing a title match on a major pay-per-view. It's one thing if he loses a title match on SmackDown, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. But on a pay-per-view like this, it's like, I don't know.
There is no way that Jinder Mahal should beat Shinsuke Nakamura. No way. But it's WWE, and they will find a way for Jinder Mahal to beat Shinsuke Nakamura. But I don't care. I'm picking Shinsuke Nakamura, because he's Shinsuke effing Nakamura. Simple as that. The Magic 8-Ball agrees with us. That simple. And now the main event.
Oh, thank God.
It is for the WWE Universal Championship. It is Brock Lesnar, who could leave WWE if he loses, taking on Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and Samoa Joe. My heart has a pick, my logical brain has a pick, and then I also know what WWE is going to do. But what are your thoughts?
I'm kind of the same way. As much as I want someone else to win the title, I know it's not going to happen, that Brock will likely to retain this title, but I am so tired of Brock as champion. I think it's run its course. You need to bring the title back to TV and have it on TV, especially if you are not going to push the IC title as the main secondary championship and make it more important. It's the women's title and the tag titles on Raw. Those are the two most important titles right now, because the Universal title has been invisible for months. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but it's run its course. And it's like, I'm tired of it. I want the champion back. You know, we knew this from the last time Brock won the title at Mania, that there's a very limited shelf life for how long you can have him coming back and forth on TV before you're tired of it. I've hit that point with Brock. It's just like, okay, all right, you want to go fight in UFC. You keep dropping these hints about Jon Jones. Okay, fine. You go fight Jon Jones. You can always come back. But in the meantime, leave the title, go do your thing, come back. Everything's going to be fine. It's kind of how I feel about it. I want the title on Joe or Braun. And I want the match between Brock and Braun.
Well, if you go by WWE storytelling, the only way to get Brock and Braun is Brock has to win. Because Paul Heyman does not say stipulations and not follow through with them.
Right. So, all that being said, I'm saying Brock retains, leading to Brock and Braun at some point.
It was reported on WWE.com. that Brock Lesnar was scheduled to appear and wrestle at No Mercy, which is a September pay-per-view. This was before everything came out about UFC and everything. Well, he's still listed there. Everyone says that he's still going to be around, and he's not leaving until after WrestleMania next year, which is fine. The logical pick is Brock winning, so you can get Brock and Braun. And then even if you want to take you can take the belt off of Brock then. Because it's not the conspiracy. It's not if he loses a match, it's only this match if he loses. So Brock could drop the belt in Los Angeles at No Mercy to Braun Strowman. And then you can have Roman beat Braun at Survivor Series to get the belt. Did I just book this way they're going to book this now?
Probably. I mean, because, you know, you're the mole, so.
I just thought of that out of my head. It's like, that could be the way to do this. You get out of the stipulation of Brock losing, which has people spinning their wheels on things. If it was me, Samoa Joe would be your WWE Universal Champion because he's the hottest one of the bunch. If WWE is booking this, they want Roman Reigns as their WWE Champion.
Do they though?
Yes. They really do want Universal Champion Roman Reigns. Brock is winning this match, and I'm going to have it Brock to Braun, Braun to Roman. Whenever they decide to put the belt on Roman, he beats Braun, he doesn't beat Brock, because then you can eventually, if they get Brock to resign after he goes back to UFC, you can do Brock Rowan one-on-one. No strings, no nothing. You could just do the match.
The two ones, in whatever the record is, going head-to-head for supremacy.
It's not even that. It's, let's finally get a winner between Brock and Roman that doesn't involve Seth Rollins.
Or a title. Because I think that's the big thing, is it's like Brock and Roman should not have a title. Brock and Roman should just be Brock and Roman. You can tell that story perfectly fine without the title being in the mix. It doesn't really add anything to it.
Unless they want it to be that Roman retired The Undertaker and conquered the Beast. And got rid of them both. Please don't make
don't mention the thing.
I'm mentioning the thing.
Don't mention the thing.
I already did.
We don't talk about the thing. The thing did not happen. Taker got sick. End of discussion. He had to leave early.
Whatever. This past WrestleMania?
Yes.
Okay.
He was ill. Leave me with my denial, damn it.
It's going to leave you with your denial.
And if you think I can't live with this denial,
he's so wrong. He is still undefeated at WrestleMania.
He is still undefeated at WrestleMania in my book. That match was never sanctioned. It never happened. It was not a thing. WrestleMania stopped at Daniel Bryan. Or no, stopped at Bray Wyatt and Cena. Skips over to Daniel Bryan.
See, they had a power outage after Bray Wyatt's entrance at WrestleMania 30. Power came back on during the main event.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's totally... Actually, no. It was whatever was at, like, before Bryan. Whatever that tweener match was.
Oh, the women.
I think it was the women.
It was the women's match.
Yeah, so Bray Wyatt to women. That's how WrestleMania that year goes for me.
Bray Wyatt's magical powers knocked out the lights in the Superdome because we all know that's possible.
Completely, utterly possible.
Because it's happened during an NFL game.
And then what was the match last year before Roman? Was it a title match?
It was the women's title match.
WrestleMania last year ends with a women's title match. They main evented WrestleMania.
Naomi winning the title.
At Mania. That's where that show stops. I can do this. I've done this now for 4 years. It's fine.
Muting the denial for a second. I kind of lost my point. Anyway, point being was you have, we don't need denial and conquering the Beast to be a thing for Roman. Okay? He could just have the denial and not the conquering. Cause if you think the heat's bad now, conquering the Beast would be even worse.
But I don't think they're that concerned with the heat now. It's the John Cena effect. It's they're going to keep doing what they're doing with Roman no matter what, because it's like the crowd has made the decision and nothing they do turns the crowd back. So it's like, okay, fine. Y'all want to be like that? We're going to go full steam ahead as if you guys are cheering your heads off for him and going crazy for him. It's the John Cena thing.
Where I know.
It's fun to boo Roman. That's what people do, is that's the reaction, because Roman is the up-and-coming new face of WWE. Cena's slowly phasing out, Roman's phasing in. And what do we do as fans to the face of WWE? We boo the crap out of him, because we're lovely, lovely people.
Okay, so, with all that, I'm going Brock. You're going...
Brock. There's no reason... Him leaving if he loses is way too obvious. Plus, he's still got 6 months on his suspension before he can technically even go back.
And he hasn't even started yet.
And he hasn't even started training yet. So, him leaving right now, I don't see that happening.
The 8-ball picks Roman Reigns. There's one last question. And this is key.
Will I be awake at the end of the show?
Yes. But that's not the key. To win a copy of Pure Country, Pure Heart, from Warner Brothers, featuring former guest of the show from a month ago, Shawn Michaels, we need a tiebreaker question. The tiebreaker question is, who gets pinned in the Fatal 4-Way? Your pick is who?
Roman.
Samoa Joe sadly gets pinned by Brock Lesnar. Samoa Joe is the hot one. They have a hot thing with Samoa Joe, but out of all the people they're protecting, he's the least protected. Because it's Braun, Roman, they're protecting before they would protect Samoa Joe. That's where the math goes in this whole thing.
So yeah, so agree with us, disagree with us, turn in your pick. You have till what, 5 on Sunday?
Let's go 3 p.m. on Sunday, because the pre-show starts at 5. So 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Okay, 3 p.m. on Sunday to get your picks in to us. If you want to win the digital copy of Pure Country, Pure Heart, semi-starring Shawn Michaels. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It's been a very long show.
It's been a very, very long show. It's been one of those marathon shows. Sorry, y'all. They happen. It's a thing where we have to talk about everything.
Don't worry.
Because 2 pay-per-views.
Don't worry. Next week will be a marathon, too.
Oh, my God.
Because then we have the results. Yay! Can you tell I'm excited?
Should be excited. Should be a fun weekend. Where I'll probably watch all 8 hours in one sitting. On Sunday.
Do the thing, dude. Do the thing.
You've been... I'm gonna need help on Sunday. Anyway, that's the show.
So, do your plugs.
Saturday night, Midnight Edition, CB Radio. We'll have the Greater and the Great Debate scheduled to be currently one-liners. It may change. Maybe switch. It's a long week. We'll figure it all out. CB Radio Live, Saturday night, Midnight Edition. We're gearing up for 500 on September 9th. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and.com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Once SummerSlam ends, I want to sleep. But instead, we'll be doing the Wrestle Talk Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern. Because I'll be watching 8 hours of wrestling. So we'll talk about SummerSlam right after it happens. Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday night. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. There is no Sims this Tuesday coming up. Go back into the archives at youtube.com/rackradioshow to check out SummerFest, currently available. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. We will be reviewing NXT TakeOver Brooklyn and SummerSlam. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube, Twitch, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, your blender, your ceiling fan, we're everywhere. Search Rack Radio Show.
Your blender?
I don't know. Why not? At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/wildtalkradio.org. You can probably hook up MP3 players to blenders, right?
Sure.
It's a long show to your pups.
It's a very long show. So you good?
I'm good.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Lensward, LNSWRD, and my website, techworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lensward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and FightBooth.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week with our NXT and SummerSlam Fallout, another marathon show. Yay! You don't want to miss it. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.